Prophet Alan Ross has been coming here to this church for quite some years now. How many has it been? 10 years coming and ministering here, and really has really been a blessing, more than a blessing. He's a godsend here to come and minister to us, and it is truly is a blessing to have him. He really is a man of God, and he's got a great testimony, and he's got a grace to really minister to us prophetically. So he's going to come and share and preach for a few, and then we'll just kind of go from there. So if you could welcome with me, give him a good, warm welcome, Prophet Alan Ross.
Thank you. Praise God. There was a time I could have bounced up on that platform, but at this age and stage, you make accompanying sounds like, ah! So God is good, even when you're almost 50. A blessing to be part of the GM meeting. It's good to see some friends from other fellowships in Anchorage. And the Lord bless you all. The Lord is all-inclusive. He wants all of us this evening to be secure in his great love for you and I. He is not a performance-driven God. He is absolutely dedicated to relationship. He draws us into relationship. He sustains us in our relationship, and he knows how to orchestrate the events of our lives when we are walking in him. I have a brief message tonight that will run 20 minutes. If you have a Bible, turn to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 2, verse 10. Colossians chapter 2, verse 10. In fact, let's back up a verse to Colossians 2, verse 9. Verse 9 and 10. Verses 9 and 10. Colossians 2, verse 9. For in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form, and in him you have been made complete, and he is the head over all rule and authority. We're in the age of cults. We're in the age of religion. We're in the age of Christian sects. We're even in the age of liberal Christianity, all involved in the God debate. A common argument against our wonderful faith and incredible Savior is this. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that Jesus is God. Well, I would just encourage such critical voices to turn to Colossians 2, verse 9. For in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. Jesus, the God-man. Jesus, who came to earth as the babe of Bethlehem, became the man of Calvary, rose from the dead, and ascended to be with the Father, where he intercedes for you and I as our advocates on a daily basis. Jesus has phenomenal sympathy and empathy towards you and I. He really is on our side. I would love to hear something of the advocacy of Jesus as he speaks to the Father on our behalf. Do you know you can hear something of that advocacy by praying in the Spirit, getting to a place of intercession, and asking God to tell you what heaven is saying at any given point in time? Heaven loves to communicate with the earth. Heaven loves to communicate with you and I. And when we catch something in a spirit, we may be touching on the advocacy of Jesus. If you feel compassion for an individual suddenly, someone that you may not even be too fond of in the natural. I suspect you're touching the advocacy of Jesus. If the Lord gives you a word or a very strong impression for a situation going on upon the earth or in your family, in the church, in the workplace, you're catching the advocacy of Jesus. Prophetic ministry flows out of the advocacy of Jesus. Words I have spoken over you in the past should have come from some degree of the advocacy of Jesus, speaking to the Father on our behalf. It's good news that today the Lord has intervened, interceded, and put a case to the Father on our behalf. I had a wonderful discussion with Frank and Mona Curry over dinner tonight, and that old theme, can you lose your salvation? I think you'd have to be a genius to lose your salvation. Because if you're behaving dumb upon the face of the earth, trying to lose your salvation, you've got an advocate in heaven pleading your case to the Father, saying, this is where he's at. Let's get my blood to him quickly so we can dissolve all that stuff. Jesus identifies with you and I. Yet our faith is not in the abstract. We don't have all this theory and live our lives on the earth according to our own resources. The very nature of living our lives upon the earth is giving up our right to live our own lives. Jesus has an incredible turn of phrase. He says, those who try and keep their lives will lose their lives, and those who lose their lives will keep their lives. That's Scottish paraphrase. That's the ARV, the Alan Ross version, or the DGV, the Dead Dodgy version. But seriously, Jesus appeals to our hearts to understand more of what it means to be a believer as we continue on a journey, and then live secure in that place. God wants us to live our lives on the earth as a secure people. If you're anything like me, you have serious bouts of insecurity. You have serious bouts of feeling deeply inadequate. They're never good days. They're distressing days when you feel inadequate, when you feel insecure. God wants us to live secure in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus lives in us. We are one spirit with the Lord. We are one with Him in spirit. And to top it all off, we are new creations in Christ Jesus. In truth, where you and I end and Jesus begins is indistinguishable. Because in Christ Jesus, there is not a point where we end and He begins. Because in Christ Jesus, we are new creatures. And we live in that entity. We don't have two natures in our human bodies. There's a fallacy that we have sin nature and the new creation in the same body. It's a fallacy because you and I are sin creatures. You and I are new creations in Christ Jesus. We don't have bolted onto us a second personality called sin. Sin has been addressed in our lives. The cross of Jesus Christ dealt with the sin issue once and for all. And when the blood of Jesus fell on the soil of the earth, then we had full remission of sin. something mysterious about the members of our body, where something called sin lingers. It's nothing more than terrorist opposition. It's not really who we are. It's not who we are in personality, in flavors, in destiny, in giftings, in anointings, in the blessing of God, in the foundational quality of God imparted in our lives. It's just something that should be peripheral in our lives. And the more we walk with the Lord, the more we learn how to live as new creatures, not as new creatures in constant negotiation with sinful flavors, but new creatures learning in the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome those sin flavors. Tonight I have a very brief message about living secure in Christ Jesus. We are called to live securely in Christ Jesus, for we have already been birthed into a person. Salvation is not really a message. It's all about a spiritual transaction that has already occurred in our lives. A spiritual transaction where at the point we called upon Jesus Christ as Lord, living in the reality of the conviction of the Holy Spirit, and we bowed our knee to Jesus, two things happened. In the twinkling of an eye, the Lord's hand reached out into our human spirit and removed sin nature, removed the old man, removed the fallen man, and in a flash, put into us his nature, put into us who he is, deposited himself in us by the Holy Spirit. For many, this was dramatic. For others, an ongoing process. But nevertheless, the transaction had been totally completed. God does not put in place a religious cloning system. Church was never designed to be a religious factory. The revelation of living in Christ Jesus was experiential for you and I. We have a saying in Scotland, the proof of the pudding is in the eating. In other words, putting it into modern Anchorage vernacular, it's only when you eat the dessert you discover how good it really is. We tasted of the Lord and we discovered that he is good. My religion pre-Jesus was Scottish heathen. My two main theological influences were Lennon and McCartney. My favorite spirit came in the guise of a Russian product that began with a V and ended with an A. I think there was a K in the middle. I had no Christian knowledge, any Christian background, but the reality of the new birth gave me experience. In 1 second, my whole life pre-Jesus disappeared. The life of alcoholism, the life of crime, the life of all the sins I was involved in disappeared. And I didn't even decide to become a good person. I thought to become a Christian, you would be some kind of Bible-quoting John Boy Walton. Hands up if you know John Boy Walton. Oh my goodness me, I blame him for a lot of things. I watched the Waltons in my formative years, and watching John Boy Walton be so nice, considerate, and thoughtful, in between bouts of chucking up, it drove me to alcohol. No one can be that nice, and I don't want to be that nice. And if I become a Christian, that's the way I would have to behave. I would not look good in overalls. In my home, we didn't all talk to one another when we were lying in bed at night and say, good night, Mary Ellen. The home I grew up in, when the lights went out, we tried to kill one another. Slowly. Praise God for the Waltons. Hallelujah. Walton's Mountain. Amen. The nature of the new birth makes us like Jesus. Whether we want to look like Jesus or not, truth be told, in the Christian life, when you and I try to look like Jesus, we take on the appearance of a religious caricature. But when you and I allow the new life of Christ Jesus to lead us, to guide us, to teach us, to challenge us, to confront us, to mature us, to pressure our immaturities, to pressure our weaknesses, just simply by persevering, we will look a lot like Jesus. Our journey's secure. Even when we're messing up royally, our journey remains secure. Praise God, His mercies are new every morning. You're all quite young looking. When you get to my age, everyone looks quite young. You know, when you're getting old, when people keep trying to offer you assistance to get across the road. But we are secure in our journey because as techies, as IT people, we can use that language in a relationship with God. And every morning say, thank you, Lord, your mercies are new every day. Now, Lord, I ask you for a fresh download of mercy. I've located the mercy section on your website. Now, can you please download that to me in the name of Jesus? Practical language that God loves to hear. There's not a religious bone in God's body. He is Spirit and life. When He births that in you and I, it laughs in the face of religion. God is with us in our journey. The headline of our journey narrows down to maturity. Maturing, going through maturation process. It means it's okay for you and I not to be perfect tonight. That's okay. If we think we are perfect, we deceive ourselves. For the Lord has journeys to take us on that will bring forth our maturity. Will take us into seasons where we mature. Our life on earth is not all about what we can achieve for God, what we can do for God. Our life on earth narrows down to one thing. Christ in you, Christ in me, the hope of glory. And taking that into practical terms, it's all about you and I learning to live at a place of submission to the Christ that abides in us so that He can live His life in us and through us. When we negotiate our circumstances, when we feel that we are in a hard place, when we know even traumatic phases of our life, we can rest on a core truth which we read tonight in Colossians 2, verse 10, and in Him you have been made complete. Here's something for you and I to ponder as I begin to close. In Christ Jesus, we are already made complete. God has already done the work in Christ Jesus. The more we try and give God a hand with that, the more we will fail. The more we negotiate that work with a carnal mindset, the more we will misunderstand that work. Part of our security in God is living in that secure knowledge that we are made complete in Him. Tonight, if there's emotional weakness in your life, you can speak to that emotional weakness, no longer be bound up by guilt or condemnation by that weakness, and say, I am made complete in Christ Jesus. Emotional weakness, you will line up with that. If the enemy's telling you that you are a lousy believer, huh, you think you almost sound like Margaret Thatcher there. Huh. If you think you're getting to heaven because of the way you spoke to your mom the other day, you have another thought coming. Then you can say to the enemy, I am made complete in Christ Jesus. When you negotiate your career and things are not going your way, you can say to the career that you know that God has already chosen for you, you are made complete in Christ Jesus. If there's sickness in your body tonight and you've been lingering in symptoms for far too long, you can tell your body, you are made complete in Christ Jesus. Recognizing that takes us into the authority realm. Not our authority. The kingdom of God is not about bringing authority to men or women. The kingdom of God is all about men and women learning to live in the authority of Christ. When we live in that place of recognition that we are made complete in Him, then we close that mindset, as we read in Colossians 2:10, by recognizing He is the head over all rule and authority. Whatever situation we face tonight, we're complete in Him. And by prayer and faith, invite Jesus to be the head over what we are walking through. As we lay down our lives, He takes up. He takes up what we lay down and empowers it with the resources of the kingdom. If we hold on to our life, we close the door on the power and resources of the kingdom. In subtext, the only life to live in the kingdom of God is a crucified life. To recognize that the old me was crucified with Jesus 2,000 years ago. It's no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Amen.